In addition to the physical toll coronavirus or COVID-19 may be having on our lives, the psychological impact is also important to consider. This is Lisa Berry, and in these uncertain times, we decided to reach out to University of Michigan professor in the departments of psychology and psychiatry, also the founder and CEO of Mood Lifters, Dr. Patricia Delden. Welcome. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing probably like everybody else is. Experience a little fear and anxiety around this whole virus situation.
Well, you started Mood Lifters as a mental wellness program that uses practical daily tools to deal with mental health challenges such as this. So would you agree that this virus is indeed a mental health challenge? Would you quantify it at that level?
Well, I think it can be for people who are already experiencing some mental health concerns. You can imagine that they might have an exacerbation of what they're already experiencing. But in this kind of situations, it's natural and normal for people, everybody, to experience fear and anxiety. The reason is that there's this sense of uncontrollability and unpredictability, and this situation is high on those things. So this is a great or typical time that everybody would feel some fear and some anxiety. If it ever gets to be too much, if people are feeling like pretty overwhelmed and pretty severely affected, they might want to reach out to the healthcare providers. But most people I know, including myself, is feeling a little bit of that fear and anxiety.
Dr. Patricia Delden is also Associate Director at the University of Michigan Depression Center. And as you said at the start of this conversation, if you're already dealing with issues like that, this situation is not helping.
No, it's not. We know that a lot of mental illnesses and psychiatric conditions are exacerbated by stress, and this is a stressful time. It's stress in the sense of anxiety and worrying about yourself or others getting the illness. But there's also stress about when you're self-quarantining yourself. There's also stress associated with being quarantined, like boredom, loneliness, you know, disengaging from relationships and things like that. So it's both worry and anxiety around getting the illness, but it's also just being stuck at home for a long periods of time when you don't really want to be can be really stressful as well.
And because this is so new and so uncertain, I think that's adding to it. So well, we've discussed the anxiety and stress I think pretty much everybody is experiencing. So let's talk about some tools to deal with that. What can you recommend?
Well, the thing that I would recommend is really attending to self-care as much as you can during this time and be kind to yourself. Healthy eating, sleep, exercise, seeking support from loved ones and friends. Do stay informed by checking in with reliable news sources. I like the CDC website myself, CDC Center for Control and Prevention, Disease Control and Prevention. But seek updates only a couple times a day. Don't spend all day obsessively reading and watching about this thing, because really, the more time you spend, you can overspend and get too stressed out about it more than what might be called for in the situation. Then follow, you know, what you consider are the local recommended prevention and preparedness measures, like washing your hands regularly, not going to work or school if you're sick, and those kinds of things. But be careful before taking any additional preventive measures beyond those what are recommended, as they can actually be counterproductive and actually more anxiety. I would say focus on activities you value, ones that are fun or relaxing or allow you to feel like you're accomplishing things you care about. So my husband and I have now planned to declutter our whole house in the next 2 weeks, taking one room at a time, for example, something we've been wanting to do. So also focus on fun things like playing board games or playing online games with your friends. And speaking of friends, make sure you stay connected with other people through social media, phone calls, and so on. When you do this alone in socialization, it can fuel the negative moods, and it makes it much harder to manage the natural sadness and confusion and fear that we're all feeling during the stressful time. So it's especially important to be mindful of keeping and maintaining social relationships as much as possible, because they help to sort of, you know, damp down those kinds of reactions. Try to keep established routines as much as possible. So let's say you always went out with your friends to, you know, to a club to watch a sporting event on Monday nights for like Monday night footballs or soccer or something. Do that virtually. You know, all watch the game together, text each other, talk to each other on the phone while you're doing it. So those are the things that I would recommend. And again, realizing that anxiety is sort of a normal part of this is really important. Don't overreact to your own anxiety. Don't be afraid of the fear because it's normal, but don't overreact to it either.
We keep hearing about social distancing. And for someone like me who loves to socialize and who is mm-hmm. a devoted hugger, it's not an easy thing to do. And that thought alone can bring some anxiousness.
Right. One of the best way to prevent and help mental illness is how you're doing socially. As a matter of fact, we just finished a study with thousands of people that showed the number one predictor of social functioning problems is depression. Well, now we have an environmental reason not to socialize in person as much as other ways. At least try to stay connected socially in other ways.
Stay connected, clean,
put your
downtime to good use. But at what point do you think you might need professional help if you are experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety in light of the coronavirus?
Well, for sure, if you're starting to feel suicidal or like you're wanting to hurt someone else, just at that point, you should absolutely seek help. Most people won't have that experience. If you're finding that you're unable to control your emotions, you can't sleep, you're starting to have other kinds of problems like not eating and those kinds of things that could have long-term consequences, you should see someone. There's a lot of places to reach out for help. You mentioned earlier that I'm CEO of Moodlifters. We just set up remote groups for people so people could come to our groups and join online. We also set up special one-time sessions online sessions for groups to deal with the anxiety around the coronavirus as well as to deal with consequences of social isolation. So like you could do that or you could do other sort of distress lines like crisis lines and things like that. There's also apps that are pretty good that can help people deal with the stress and the challenges around this.
You mentioned sleep, and that is probably the number one thing I am hearing from a lot of people, that this is impacting their ability to sleep at night. Do you have any mood lifters or general psychological advice you can give us to help us sleep better at night?
Sure. Well, it's normal. One of the things that anxiety impacts the most is being able to fall asleep or stay asleep. So what I would do, again, is to keep the same routine as much as possible. Try to go to sleep and wake up at the same time. Try not to read any upsetting information right before you go to bed. So I do recommend go ahead and check that CDC website twice a day, maybe once in the morning, once around dinner time. But then don't read it again because it's just going to be distressing and upsetting. So instead, take down the guidelines, do the guidelines, wash your hands, don't touch people, but then not think about it, especially right before you go to bed. Do not be reading the news right before then. And in general, any screen time right before you go to bed would be troubling. So again, go to bed, wake up at the same time. Try to not do any screen time, especially worrisome screen time right before you go to bed. And believe it or not, one of the things I recommend that people often don't know is that they sleep in rooms that are too hot. And so if you're too hot, you're waking up because you're hot, and then you can't stop thinking about these things. Put down the temperature to your room around 60 to 65 degrees. Helps a lot of people sleep a lot better.
University of Michigan professor in the Departments of Psychology, Psychiatry, founder of Moodlifters, and we'll put a link to that on our website, WEMU.org. Dr. Patricia Delden, thanks for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Lisa.